answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Say it's disturbing. Not one Democrat has said, well, why is he serving right now today as commander in chief? You know, you look at the White House press briefing where Karine Jean-Pierre was asked, okay, so he's only available for a few hours in the afternoon. What happens if a nuclear weapon is launched at America at 11 o'clock at night? And the White House's answer was, well, he has a team that can deal with that. You know what? Yeah. It is the president's job to deal with that. It's the commander in chief's job to deal with that, and not a single Democrat has said, you know, he's so diminished, he doesn't need to just not be on the ballot. He needs to step down, or they need to exercise the 25th Amendment and remove him.
The point made very directly by Texas Senator Ted Cruz. With all the Democrats, and now there's a 19th member of the Democrat Party, an 18th, I should say, calling for Biden to drop out of the presidential race. If all of them and all the state-controlled media, the legacy media, and all of them recognize Biden's not fit, then why are you waiting? Why should he continue to be president between now and November? There is no real reason other than trying to hold on the best they can and then still trying to decide how we're actually going to get rid of him with a gentle shove into the train track. Ted Cruz had also made a prediction for the Democrats and what's coming up, and he made this prediction months ago. I'll let you in on that prediction coming up a little bit later. First of all, glad to have you on board with us. Hour number one of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. I'm glad to have you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You can watch it as we're on the air. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. You make your choice. Just glad to have you. And if you cannot listen entirely now or watch entirely now and you want to go back and pull it up, which we encourage you to do so, and then share with others and push like on there because it really infuriates the leftist censorship boards when they see more likes coming in. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or you go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and you will find the podcast of this very program once we complete it. So you can listen, watch at your pleasure. And I appreciate you doing that. I want to let you know, of course, that we are going to be staffing the GOP convention next week in Milwaukee. And in fact, Christopher Arps will be joining us in our second hour today. Christopher Arps, along with Speaker Tim Jones, they have the program right before we come on the air. And I want to question Chris on a few thoughts about, one, about the debacle at the NATO press conference, the big boy conference, as they called it, last night, how Biden was fumbling around, and predictions for what will be happening with the GOP convention. This one, the GOP convention, is almost nailed down. There's going to be some grumbling over the platform and some issues that some Republicans don't buy into. But I want to remind you, there are some Republicans who are not really strong Republicans. But there is an issue when it comes to abortion that the party is not really unified to that extent. And that might be a cause for some concern, but it's not going to shake the foundation of what's going to happen. Chris Arps will be joining us later in this hour. Now, Cruz said, why not ask why you're not getting him out of here now? Why aren't you getting him out of here now? Well, they're not. But we had an MSNBC panel sit down, and then they began to discuss what is going to happen, and they actually got around to that very point that he just raised. Why aren't you raising this now?
If you're standing up, if you're a Democrat right now and you're standing up and you're saying that Joe Biden is not fit to run for office and therefore should not be in office in January, you're saying he's also not fit to be president right now. What the hell are you doing? You are going, you are going, that is what you're saying, because you're telling voters that he does not have the chops to be president for the, next 4 years, starting in January.
Okay. Starting in January, he doesn't have the chops. He doesn't have them now. That's happening on an MSNBC panel, raising the same question Ted Cruz said. Why aren't you saying he's not fit now, as of this day, as of weeks ago, months ago? They've been watching this happen. They know inside the Beltway what's been going on. And on top of that, the legacy media, the state-controlled media that serves to protect Joe Biden has been also lying to their own Democrat supporters. Everything's good. Everything's good here. Well, now, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries releasing a letter earlier today telling his House Democrats he did meet with Biden privately last night. In the letter, Hakeem Jeffries writes, "On behalf of the House Democratic Caucus, I requested and was graciously granted a private meeting with President Joe Biden. In my conversation, I directly expressed the full breadth of insight, heartfelt perspectives, and conclusions about the path forward that the caucus has shared in our recent time together. As House Democrats have done through this Congress, we will continue to work in the best interest of everyday Americans." You have not been working on behalf of everyday Americans because you did not say, shut the border. And all these illegals have come in, leading to drug overdoses, child trafficking, car crashes, assaults and murders and crime, in addition to Bidenomics and pushing gas and oil prices higher and higher. You have not been working on behalf of the Americans. And here you want to dare say, of course, it's all within an echo chamber for them, we're doing a good job here. But he actually sat down with Biden, supposedly shared with him, sir, things are not that good. Even Jen Psaki, former White House press secretary, now getting big dollars from MSNBC, says what's really happening at the White House.
Is the White House and the campaign ready for this moment, which is news is breaking every hour about the president and about your campaign? Are they ready for this? Because the last 3 years, I don't want to say have been easy because they're never easy, I know, but they've been nothing like this.
It's so interesting. It's an interesting question because it's like, what does it mean to be ready for it, right? I mean, they have to be. They don't really have another choice. I think the question is, what is the plan moving forward? And I think 99% of them don't know the answer to that question, right? For all intents and purposes, if you're on the campaign in the White House, Joe Biden has said he's running. He's going to stick it out as a nominee. That is what you were planning to do. Is that what the result ends up being? I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
Have you surprised how many leaks there have been in the last 2 weeks?
Yes, very surprised. It was not a leaky White House when I was there. And that shows you the frustration and disappointment and anger, which is
And maybe concern.
And did she just throw KJP under the bus? There were not a lot of leaks when I was press secretary. Saskia's always going to make herself look better. But the bottom line here is where Biden is and what's happening. And especially after that debacle last night. I want to get to that in more detail, but I'll tell you right now. An Obama advisor, David Axelrod, we've had reported for you previously that he has constantly been saying Biden's not going to be able to win this the way things are going. Now, there's a new poll out. I can't find the source for this poll, but supposedly shows that Biden might actually be leading Trump a little bit after the debacle last night. I find it entirely impossible, but I haven't found the source. But what Axelrod did say today, Biden really needs a royal flush to win this race. A royal flush. If you know anything at all about poker, that is the best hand you could ever have. And it would be in spades. Ace, king, queen, jack, 10 of spades. A royal flush. So someone has ace, king, jack, queen, 10 of hearts. They've got a royal flush too, but yours is the better one. So he's going to need that, according to Axelrod. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, and all through my commentaries today, pointing out about who's really pulling the strings, we've all been questioning that. We know that. And we were telling you that Pelosi has been trying to keep her distance and not be that vocal. And yet word has surfaced that Pelosi and Obama, no surprise there, have been having some discussions.
While more Democrats publicly call on President Biden to bow out, what is happening in private right now, the most telling and possibly the most consequential? CNN reporting this morning, Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi have had behind-the-scenes discussions about Joe Biden's fitness and how to move forward. Their talks focusing on how much harder it's become for the president to beat Donald Trump. The takeaway that we are reporting is that neither one of them is quite sure what to do. I guess it mirrors the country or the Democratic Party anyway. Earlier this week, the former speaker raised quite a few eyebrows when she appeared to, quite frankly, kick the exit door back open for Biden to walk through it.
It's up to the president to decide if he is going to run. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short. I want him to do whatever he decides to do. And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is. And the door's open there for you, by the way. The Biden campaign chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, told staff on a phone call, as reported by Axios, "We've had two very, very, very hard weeks." I didn't add an extra very. That's exactly three verys. Let's do it again. "We've had two very, very, very hard weeks, very bad weeks. I told you I'd level with you. They've been bad effing weeks." That's how direct they are. Now, interesting within all of this, coming not from the Democrat Party and not from Democrat sources of any type and not from even the state-controlled media, but coming from a congressman, a Georgia congressman, that, you know, maybe what's happening is that his own team is trying to sabotage Biden.
I do think that he's being sabotaged from the people on the inside. And just as someone who's been in office a long time, my question is, why did his team leave him on the stage that long? They know the longer they leave him on the stage, the more mistakes he's going to make. And so I think he's got people both inside the White House and obviously externally that are working to find a VP nominee right now for the Democratic Party, and they'll push Harris up to the top of the ticket. And once the debate happened and he showed even his own supporters that he had this diminished mental capacity. And again, I don't wish him any ill will. I'm just speaking factually. But once he had shown them that he had the diminished capacity, you know, why would they turn around and put him on a stage for a 1-hour press conference after the NATO summit? It would have, if they were operating in his best interest, they would have put him on stage for 10 minutes, maybe 15 at the outside, but to allow him to continue to go on and ramble. The more he talks, the more he proves the point that, candidly, a lot of his supporters have already gotten to, and that he has to be replaced.
And that is a Republican congressman from Georgia, Austin Scott, saying maybe they're trying to sabotage him. If there'd been any doubts about the so-called big boy news conference after the NATO meeting, it got crystallized last night that Joe Biden is beyond saving. To their credit, some reporters at the news conference called him out for some of his mistakes.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. We're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you about your, you mixed up Presidents Zelensky and Putin earlier today. And you now have sort of your key allies, including the British Prime Minister, the President of France, and the German Chancellor having to step in and make excuses for you on that. And officials here are saying off the record that your decline has become noticeable. Hasn't this now, frankly, become damaging for America's standing in the world? Thank you.
Did you see any damage to our standing in my leading this conference? Have you seen a more successful conference? What do you think? And the Putin piece, I was talking about Putin, and I said, and now, at the very end, I said, here, I mean, Putin, I said, no, I'm sorry, Zelensky. and then I added five other names. Look, guys, the idea anybody suggests that we haven't had an incredibly successful conference. How many times did you hear in that conference, I know it sounds too self-serving, but other leaders, heads of state, in thanking me, saying the reason we're together is because of Biden, because Biden did the following. Look, folks, this is a, well, anyway.
No, anyway, that was his fallback phrase all the time. Anyway, you could make a mistake by throwing a wrong name. I make it. But he's on a world stage, and he's the president, and everything he does is under closer scrutiny. And then he made this mistake.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
Respectfully, earlier you misspoke in your opening answer. You referred to Vice President Harris as Vice President Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is using that to mock your age and your memory. How do you combat that criticism from tonight?
Listen to him.
This concludes tonight's press conference. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, wrap it up. Yeah, move off the stage. They actually did what Republican Congressman Scott said they should have done. Don't let him be up there that long. Get him off the stage. They let him stay too long. But I want to remind you of something Vivek Ramaswamy is driving home. Listen, please.
Complacency is not an option for our side. I think there's a lot of people on our side who are already celebrating as though this thing is over. I think this thing has not even begun in terms of the election season. The reality is Biden is done. I believe they're just negotiating his golden parachute. I mean that metaphorically, if not literally. But the reality is this is just public theatrics. In some sense, they want this swap out to take place as late as possible. If it's at the DNC convention in late August, think about this. They put up a new candidate. First, there's a honeymoon phase with the public. It's the equivalent of somebody who's been a captor in being tortured as a prisoner, being liberated by their liberator. They're going to love whoever that new candidate is. They want November to come around while they're still in that honeymoon phase. So I think my message to Republicans is this, is that yes, are we doing great because our ideas are the right ideas for Americans? Yes. Because Donald Trump has already been a great president for Americans? Yes. But complacency is not an option. And I will remind you, there was supposed to be a red wave that came in 2022 because of those same failed Biden policies, and we didn't get it. So I think that we ought to be cautionary this time around in making sure that we're really playing to win and focusing on our own message rather than just ridiculing the other side.
He's made a very solid point. Do not look at a complacent attitude that you don't need to be involved. You do still need to be involved. Don't simply accept it's in our hands. I'm looking at an opinion piece on CNN pointing out, even before Biden made remarks at one of the presidential fundraisers for him in L.A. last month, some were already thinking that they were not sure how he looked and carried himself. One said he was less cogent than usual. They recognized it then, and they're upset that no one made a bigger noise over, even the state-controlled media. Why didn't the Democrats do it? You know why. Next hour, Chris Arps will be joining us. But coming up next, Biden is trying desperately to defend himself, and desperately is the key word. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy is stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake of in the campaign, in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore. I've done, where's Trump been? Riding around in his golf cart, filling out his scorecard before he hits the ball. I mean, look, he's done virtually nothing. And I have, I don't know how many, don't hold me to it, roughly 20 major events. Someone with thousands of people showing up.
Oh, yes. President Biden touting his very busy schedule while taking a swipe at former President Trump last night during that crucial press conference, which was delayed. Biden did make several gaffes during the conference, including calling Kamala Harris Vice President Trump. The president also sending this confusing message on whether he's willing to speak with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Watch.
I'm not ready to talk to Putin unless Putin's ready to change his behavior. I'm prepared to talk to any leader who wants to talk, including if Putin. So my point is, I'm prepared to talk to anybody, but I don't see any inclination. There is an inclination on the part of the Chinese to keep in contact with me.
Oh.
Because they're not sure where this all goes.
You know, Biden said he won't talk to Putin. Then he said he would, willing to talk to anybody. He said, but there is an inclination of the Chinese to want to talk to me. Wonder why. And I wonder why Joe's so anxious to talk to them as well. Could it be, let me just pose a question. Could it be because of all the Hunter Biden activities with China? And the monies, and a lot of that we still have yet to uncover, it's there. And it was on tax forms that could have been checked by this Department of Justice if they had been willing to do so, and the IRS had forced it as well. But they all kind of looked away into, oh, my God, the calendar date. It's past the statute of limitations to look into those monies. They went to Hunter Biden, and then into various shell companies. Yeah, I'm sure China wants to know what's next in the playbook, Joe. Or maybe they're telling him what's next in the playbook. So Biden is doing everything he can to defend himself and talking about, look at Trump. Look, he's been out doing nothing but golfing. Oh, and don't forget the part. He's writing in his score before he even hits the ball. For those who play golf, you know what that means. You're cheating. You're putting down your score before you even make it. I'm putting myself down for a 4, although I end up with a 9 on the hole. I got a 4 on the card. That's cheating. And right now, I will add to what Joe Biden said and say, if the Democrats, with everything going on right now, unless something disastrous happens, and I don't want you to take your eye off the ball. I want you to stay on top of it. But unless something disastrous happens, the only way they will win is cheating. That is the only way they will win. And, of course, already they're claiming, oh, yeah, if we win, they're going to cry that we cheated. They're going to cry that. Wonder why we would with everything we have in our face. Georgia Congressman Austin Scott on what you're seeing and we all are seeing.
People are seeing what those of us in the Beltway have been seeing for months now, and that he's got some serious health conditions that have diminished his cognitive capacity. And I, Maria, candidly, I think the only question now is who are the VP nominees going to be in both parties? If you saw the right after his press conference, Jim Himes, the head of the Intelligence Committee, who's a very serious member of Congress, came out and said, thank you for your service, President Biden. We have to move on. Adam Smith has said the same thing. So the two leading House Democrats on national security and our military missions have both called for him to step aside, not because they don't like or respect him, but because they recognize the threat to the country that it is and our national security, and having somebody that has just lost their mental capacity. So I think it's a matter of time. The Democrats probably wait until the Republican convention is over to replace him. They're probably vetting vice president nominees right now. Harris will be their presidential nominee, I believe.
Again, that's the opinion of Georgia Congressman Scott, Austin Scott. And he mentioned how the other Democrats continue to gang up on them. Last night, after the big boy news conference, as they were calling it, the one where he has so many flubs inside that, calling the president of Ukraine, President Putin. Putin would love to be president of Ukraine. And then also calling Vice President Trump as his best choice for vice president. I mean, those are just stumbles after stumbles. Well, there was a letter released after all of that by House Intel Committee ranking member, Democrat, Connecticut, Jim Hines, and he said, I did this, and the timing of it, I didn't want to preclude anything, but I can't sit on it any longer.
This is not about one press conference, one debate, one speech. This is about the presidency of the United States. It's about an apocalyptically powerful individual, and whether the trajectory to the election and the outcome of the election and beyond, in the event that Joe Biden were reelected into a job that requires you to deal with the most hideous stuff on the planet. The president doesn't get to answer any easy questions. I mean, a debate with Donald Trump is a walk in the park compared to what happens at 4 a.m. in the White House. So this has nothing to do with one particular debate. I didn't put out my statement because there's an old tradition that, politics and partisanship stops at the water's edge. And I wasn't going to do that with the important NATO things happening. That was the timing.
Well, you heard him get a question from David Sanger about the ability to deal with President Putin, President Xi, and he said, I can deal with them now and I'll be able to deal with them 3 years from now. Do you not agree with that?
Look, it's excruciatingly hard to answer that question.
Why? Why would it be excruciating hard? Well, because he's still trying to walk the political tightrope. Now, again, pardon me, the Democrat congressman from Connecticut, Himes, again, the House Intel Committee ranking member, admits he withheld his letter, did not release it until after everything was done last night. And he also added in his remarks, he said, we're kind of sick aspects of this moment is that we are watching every speech, every rally, every debate, and saying, how did he do today? And that's just not the way to think about the presidency of the United States. And the issue is, if President Biden is able to be up 3 days straight and make all the correct decisions in a job that requires near perfection. And he said, again, it's not really about tonight. It's kind of the sick aspects of this moment that we're going to sit around and ask, how did he do today? That's not a good way to be looking at your presidency. So back to the question he got from the CNN anchor about where now?
And you think he'll lose to Donald Trump if Joe Biden goes up against him?
Look, I, you know, like Yogi Berra said, predictions are hard, especially about the future. All I can do is look at the numbers right now. No president has ever won with a 37% approval rating. Look at the swing states, because this isn't a race that is decided in 5 or 6 states. You know, the president, you can look at lots of different polls, but the president isn't really up in any of them. And then you can ask yourself, and again, this is future. This is, we don't know the future. What does the trajectory look like? And imagine that 3 months from now, we get another performance like there was in the debate, right before the election. Do you want to take that risk? I don't.
I love it. I don't. And he's speaking on behalf of more and more Democrats. As I mentioned, there are now 18 members of Congress, Democrats, have come out and said Biden needs to drop out. And then you got California Governor Newsom. His name frequently mentioned as a possible replacement for Biden at the top of the Democratic ticket. And he says, I'm all in. I'm all in with Joe. That is a sleazy, slimy lie. He's just looking for a way to worm himself into that spot. Then you got former White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain writing on Twitter, it's time to, quote, end the freak out. In the freakout following Biden's NATO press conference, because there is a new poll showing the president narrowly leading Trump in a head-to-head race. Again, I can't find the source for that poll. I will accept the fact that there is such a poll, but it means nothing. One poll. I would never hold up one poll and say, this says everything. When you got the head of the National Intel Committee stating, we need to be worried every day. We have to ask, how's he doing today? How'd he handle that? And Himes believes that foreign policy is Biden's strong suit. My God, he is the head of the Intel Committee for the Democrats, and he thinks Biden's strongest suit is dealing with foreign affairs? You mean like pulling out of Afghanistan in the middle of the night? You mean like all the other debacles we've had across the world? You know why I think a lot of those NATO leaders were there? They wanted to see Biden in person to see how he was doing. What do you think they're talking about today? And yet within the Democrat Party and for the nation, especially the Democrats, how do you remove Biden? Well, kindness, hugs, kisses, just as you would with your child. When you tell them, you can't have what you want. But come here, I'll give you a hug, I'll give you a kiss. They are slobbering over Biden. That story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad, always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Loyalty means a lot at J. Ackerman Toyota. That's why during COVID, Ackerman refused to charge over sticker price, while others did. Ackerman stayed true to their customers, selling at or below manufacturer-suggested prices. Ackerman will get you what you want, and the service department has the same spirit. You come first. And thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
He's really losing control.
I'm trying to ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Here's some expert advice from McGuire Moving and Storage. If you have a home or business move coming up, you need to book now. Most moving companies are booked 6 to 8 weeks out. So call McGuire now, get an on-site estimate, set a date. McGuire has 85 years of experience and just won the Spire Quality Award. I can personally testify, McGuire goes above and beyond to help the clients. McGuire Moving and Storage, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's excruciatingly hard to answer that question, right? Because, you know, a huge part of politics is loyalty and love and emotion. And nobody understands that better or attracts that better than Joe Biden, you know, a storytelling Irishman, you know, who lives in an emotional world. And, you know, those are critical values for politics. That's why, you know, rallies are so exciting. That's why people tear up when they hear the name Bobby Kennedy or Jack Kennedy or John McCain or whatever. But the problem is that can go way too far. And when there's an excess of love and loyalty, you get 70 million Americans who will not budge from their support for a felon, from a criminal, from an adjudicated rapist who has promised to turn this country into an authoritarian country. That's what happens when you won't set aside loyalty and love and emotion. So the stakes are so high that right now the question is, you know, not that, not how loyal are you, but can we avert, forget about, and we can talk more if you like about, you know, the event that Joe Biden were reelected, but can you avert a second Trump presidency?
That is, again, Connecticut congressman that is sent a letter out last night, Jim Himes, National Intel Committee, saying that Biden needs to go. He withheld the letter, had already written it, before the NATO conference was concluding and before Biden held his disastrous news conference. He had the letter written. And so he was being asked by CNN, well, how are you going to tell him to go? He said, that's an excruciating question. And what they are doing, what the Democrats are doing right now, as I said earlier, they are slobbering over him. Oh, he's the best president we've ever had. Joe, you've done a great job. We thank you for your centuries of service. You are so good. And yet, we need to kind of move on. I'm looking at this quote from George Clooney, of course, who wrote the opinion column in the New York Times the other day. And he said, we're not going to win in November with this president. We can put our heads in the sand and pray for a miracle in November, or we can speak the truth. George Clooney. And, of course, he had also said, right now, based on everything he sees, I love Joe Biden, but we need a new nominee. Is that not what I suggested going into the break? You love your kids, and they want something really, really important to them. But you've got to tell them you can't have it. Either for money or for safety or for whatever reason, you can't have it. But I still love you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. But the Democrats are going way beyond that. They are like the dog that comes up and slobbers all over you, licking you in the face and everywhere they can get to lick to you to show you how much they care for you. I would trust the love of that dog more than a Democrat talking to Joe Biden and being honest about it. They don't love him if he's going to cost them their political race. Think about it. If he stays on the ticket as it is, if he can't be talked out or sent a bunch of flowers and urged to come out for an ice cream social and never come back, they don't want him there. They don't love him because he's going to cost them their political careers. This is the issue that's haunting the Democrats more than the White House. And yes, the White House is important, as I've told you in every election. But down ballot is very critical. You want control of the House to remain in the hands of Republicans? You got to make sure it remains in the House, control of the Republicans. You want to take away control in the Senate from the Democrats? You need to make sure. And Joe Biden is doing everything he can to help you accomplish that. And that's what Pelosi and Obama and others are seeing. Why George Clooney came out and said, we can't win. We can stick our head in the sands and act like it's not going to happen. Newsom, again, from California, stressing, I support him. He said, I get messages from people telling me to run. He said, I delete. Gavin Newsom claims that every time someone texts him and says, you should run for president, he says, I delete those messages. I'd really like to know if that's true. You know, AT&T had a major break, a hack. Millions of AT&T customers, that would include me. I don't know if my messages were part of what they hacked into, but they hacked into millions of AT&T customers, saw all their phone calls to whom and so forth, and all their text messages and what they saw and what you text or you received. Might be a lot of people out there scrambling to cover their, you know, be what, because some of those words get out. And then, of course, we have this issue with how they've allowed, the Democrats have allowed all of this to go simmering and boiling over onto the stove and not doing anything about it, not turning the heat down, not trying to move the pot, in this case, Biden. They just said, well, it'll be okay. It will hold. And then suddenly the top blows off. It's not holding, and it's everywhere. Might as well be radioactive. And then you get the way that the mainstream media has also been covering up all of these stories that now they're admitting, yeah, he's been a little slow on his walk lately. Hasn't been that strong looking. Why didn't they tell their viewers that? They probably told some of their Democrat cohorts that they get information from, and they probably all agreed and sat around and had a couple of drinks and said, yeah, he's not looking good, but I think we can get him passed. Again, the remarks we were talking about earlier from Congressman Jim Hines on the National Intel, we should not be in a position where everything he says, every speech he makes, every event he walks to, anything he does at all, that we have to ask, did he do okay? And that's where they are right now. They're having to go down that road over and over again. And then you get all those who are covering up and editing information, specifically the state-controlled media. Even a CNN host blasted the Biden campaign and a local Wisconsin radio station for editing portions out of an interview. Now, this is not where they were said, the others who had been sent questions to ask, and they asked the questions they were given, and one of them admitting it. I think the other one did as well. But this is where they got a call from the Biden campaign after the interview and saying, you know, what he said in that little part, can you kind of take that out because it kind of conveys a wrong image? And they just simply agreed. The Biden campaign, as it's reported by CNN even, and Civic Media, the Wisconsin Radio Network admitted, immediately after the phone interview was recorded, the Biden campaign called and asked for two edits before you put it on air. In other words, they were pre-taping Why would you pre-tape? Because you know you're going to have to make some changes. The edits included two portions, one which featured Biden bragging about how many black people are in his administration. The network disclosed that the program removed those words. In addition to that, I have more blacks in my administration than any other president, and all other presidents combined in major positions, cabinet positions. That got cut out. The other cutout was Biden's remarks about Trump's call in 1989 for the death penalty of the Central Park Five, the nickname of the group of black and Latino youth wrongly convicted for the rape of a New York jogger. And originally Biden said, I don't know if they even called for their hanging or not, but they were convicted of murder. Well, it turned out to be that they were wrongfully convicted. They said that we need to take that out too. And the media went along with it. Listen, for decades in the business as a news anchor, there are times where you edit remarks. I do it for this program. Sometimes because it goes off in a rabbit hole and I'm trying to stay on one topic. But the key is, am I keeping things in context? And I don't take them out because the source I was quoting or interviewing wants them out. If they want them out, they can ask me and I'll hear why. But that doesn't mean I'm going to take them out. In fact, I'll probably make another story out of it, to be quite honest. I know in the past some folks have realized, should not have called Larry and asked him not to do that because then he put it back on the air and reemphasized it. There are always edits. There are always slants in different ways. How you frame the subject in a piece of video. Against a window where the light is overpowering, you move them to a spot where it's not. The microphone isn't working where it is, you move that. You're changing things all the time. And when they're talking, if something's wrong and you edit because it's not clear or something of that nature, that's different. But if you make any edit and you change the context, you're lying to your audience. As the Biden administration has been doing with us all these years, along with the help of their friends in the state-controlled media. Now, as I stated earlier, Senator Ted Cruz had made a prediction of what is certainly going to happen with Biden and the Democrat Party. Cruz originally made this prediction months ago, and at the time, the left was laughing. Who's laughing now? That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think he's going to be forced out. I put the odds of Biden not being on the ballot in November at about 80%. I think the Democratic Party is freaking out right now. I think you're seeing senators, you're seeing House members, you're seeing the New York Times, you're seeing NBC News, you're seeing George Clooney in Hollywood. And it's worth noting why they're freaking out. Listen, they've all known for 6 months, for a year, for longer, that Biden's mental capacity was severely diminished, that he was not up to doing the job. But they're not worried about having a command in chief who's not capable of fulfilling the responsibilities. The only reason they're panicking is because they now realize the American people have seen that and they're terrified that he's going to lose in November. And so now they're willing to dump him. I put the odds at about 80% they dump him. And if and when they dump him, I think their replacement nominee will be one of two people. It will either be Michelle Obama or it will be Kamala Harris. And I actually predicted 10 months ago on my podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz, 10 months ago, I predicted they were going to push Joe Biden out and replace him with Michelle Obama. That may still prove to be the case.
That might still prove to be the case that Michelle will be put in. Kamala is not going to be able to carry the ticket. I don't care who they put on as vice president for her. The problem is, from everything we've been told and seen, Michelle wants nothing more to do with all of the White House. She's got the perfect life now. a former first lady and all the accolades that come with it. She doesn't need to be in the struggle anymore. For that matter, neither does Barack Obama, but apparently he is behind the scenes talking to Pelosi and others, undermining Joe Biden. There's nothing that says Obama and Biden have had any kind of conversation, even private, so far. So far. And in the meantime, the Biden campaign continues to try to rally the staffers they do have. I want to repeat what I said earlier because it's worth making note of this. The Biden campaign chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, as reported by Axios, was talking to staffers on a conference call and admitting, we had two very, very, very hard weeks, very bad weeks. I told you I'd level with you. They've been bad effing weeks. There are reports, obviously, of the White House and campaign staffers feeling demoralized and miserable. And she told staffers this two-week window has really sucked. And it is hard. There's no doubt about it. And it's hard for all of us because we are doing the job. If we can get through these 2 weeks that we're living through, we can get through anything. Oh, really? I don't think they're going to hang around for that. They're not going to rally around that flag if it's being raised by Joe Biden. And if you want another piece of evidence of where things are falling apart, New York State, blue, sanctuary state. New York City, blue, sanctuary city. Former New York Governor George Pataki states, and of course he's a Republican, it's a long time since anybody asked me if New York is a battleground state. But this year I'm getting asked that a lot, and I think it's because it is. First thing you need, Democrat voters, a million Democrat voters, to look at their party, look at their candidates, and say, we are screwing up royally. And you have the chaos at the top of the Democrat ticket. You have inflation. You have the migrant crisis in the city and now in the suburbs. It's leading a lot of Democrats to say, wait a second, maybe my party's let me down. Maybe I should try something different. So New York could go red? Is that possible? We'll get into that and more. And an interview with Chris Arps on the convention coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.